Let's now come to our God in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his word. Merciful God in heaven, with the psalmist today, we say, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Lord, as we turn to your word today, help us to meditate on all your wondrous works, your judgments, your victories, your redemption. And may we heed the warnings, may we take to heart the meaning of this passage that we're about to look at. May we grow in our faith and in our knowledge. Bless your servant to proclaim that word, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us continue in our series of the book of Genesis. Please turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 26, and we'll read there from verses 1 to 33. Genesis chapter 26. And you'll find that on page 27 of the Pew Bible, going on to page 28. Genesis 26, we'll begin our reading at verse 1. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, live in the land of which I tell you, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, she is my wife, because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is your wife. So how could you say she is my sister? Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham and Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So he said, "Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass in the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. I'll encourage you to have your Bibles open this morning to that passage that we read from Genesis 26 and verses 1 to 33. This will be our text for this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sequels are quite common in novels and in media. If you're a lover of books, you know this. You think of a sequel in print culture, like a novel. This is a very common thing. You know, you write the first book, and you get your readers interested, and then you come up with the second book, part two, the sequel. Well, if you found our scripture reading very similar to some of the events in the life of Abraham, then you are very observant. It's like a sequel. We could really call it the Patriarch 2, or the Patriarch Part 2. There are some striking parallels here between father and son. They're so similar that liberals have made the incorrect claim that we have a second telling of the same story. You know how liberals, thinking of those who attack the authority of Scripture, they claim that there are mistakes in them, that some books were written by more than one author. Sometimes they claim that similar stories in the Bible are really the same story written twice. You'll find a fair bit of criticism of the book of Genesis nowadays like that. Even some claiming that Moses never even wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, but that there were other writers that put it together. Well, this is not a retelling of the same story, but it is strikingly parallel to Abraham for a very good reason. In its repetition, it demonstrates to us how Isaac was given the promises and blessings that God gave to Abraham. These blessings were realized by outsiders, by those who were not part of the covenant community with the Lord, just like they were when Abraham was alive. God is the God of the covenant, and He promises to look after His people. And it speaks to us of how undeserving the covenant people are of His blessings and salvation. The fellowship and the peace that we have with Jesus Christ is a free gift to us. The gift of His love. His gift of life is in no way earned. But we, like Isaac, have to come to terms with His blessings. Every day is a test of whether or not we're going to follow Him, whether or not we're going to obey Him. Every day. And we have to embrace the Lord in faith and live as those who have faith in Him. So I call you to consider God's word under the theme faith and weakness. God blesses Isaac, and we'll look at this with 3 points. First of all, we see sin in God's presence. Secondly, we see conflict in God's presence. And then lastly, peace and God's presence. Well, consider first the sins of in God's presence. In many ways, we see how Isaac walked in the footsteps of his father. The sins of the father are repeated, but the blessings to the father are repeated as well. So the chapter begins with a famine in the land, just as it was in Abraham's time. It was necessary for Isaac to move, and thus he went to the city of Gerar in the land of the Philistines, where his father also had spent some years. You remember how the Lord miraculously spared Sarah by bringing a plague on the house of Abimelech. At the time, there was a covenant made between Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and Abraham to secure water rights. And then the promise God made to Isaac is given, "Live in the land which I tell you," in verse 2. What God told Abraham to do. He would have to stay as a sojourner in the land, for he was an heir to the promise given to his father. God promised the land for his seed. And it was important then that he stay in the land in obedience and wait in faith for the promise. And notice the promise given in verse 4. This one would have been familiar to Isaac. If you were to look back at chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, this is it's a repeat of what God had said to Abraham in Isaac's presence. This promise of descendants was given after Abraham was obedient to God through his willingness to give up his only son, Genesis 22. You notice that in verse 5, God's plan would come to pass because Abraham was faithful and obedient to the covenant. The congregation, as you can tell, the calling of God to Isaac is no different from what it was for Abraham. The Lord gave His promise and made known His blessing. Isaac was called to walk in Abraham's footsteps, to believe. In a sense, God was saying, "Look at your father's obedience and how I blessed him. Do likewise, and you will be blessed." He's the same God who calls us to grasp His promises in faith and be obedient to Him. Yet, as you can see, Isaac didn't immediately embrace these promises. There were various ups and downs until we see him believing in the Lord. We're told that he stumbled in the same weaknesses as his father when lying about Rebekah. He was afraid of being killed, therefore he had her pass for his sister. It shows how he was similar to his father. He went through some dark valleys of disobedience and unbelief, not trusting in the Lord. Yet look at how the blessing of the Lord descended on Isaac in a very striking and similar way. We see this first in how Rebekah is spared. Abimelech happened to see Isaac and Rebekah together. Isaac is said to be showing endearment to his wife. The word is literally translated as laughing or jesting. It illustrates the blessing of God's design of marriage and the wonder and the beauty of becoming one flesh. But the point is, he was having fun with her more than in a brotherly way. They were more than just brother and sister. This is really preservation by providence. This was not an accident that Abimelech saw them together. It was for that reason that he reprimanded Isaac for his lie. And he told his people that they would die if they laid their hands on either of these two. But it shows us in the clearest way that God was not about to let this covenant family go. And then we also see the blessing of God descended upon Isaac in a most striking way. Having protected him from harm, he granted him a hundredfold return of his crops. Now that's not normal. A farmer might reap about 30 or perhaps 50 times of what he has sown. Under good conditions, maybe more, but a hundredfold. This was very rare. And the same can be said about the blessing of flocks and herds. And men to look after these animals, all the servants. He had become wealthy through God's blessing. You can't see it in any other way. And as you can see, his wealth became a provocation to the people among whom he was living. They could see to it, and verse 14 says that they envied him. We'll see what transpired in a minute because of that. But consider the Lord's guiding hand here. He blesses us as his people, though we are so undeserving of his blessings and salvation. Both men, Isaac and Abraham, stumbled greatly because of their weak faith. And they stumbled in exactly the same way. But God still blessed them. And as a demonstration that God's blessings are in no way earned. They're in no way earned, but they're freely given by a merciful God. As we said before in our look at Genesis, the covenant was always kept on God's part. We're taught that it doesn't depend ultimately on our worthiness or our good works, but it's on God's mercy. We've seen this point so often in this book. God makes a covenant with his possession, his people, and what happens to them? Well, they end up not just making a mistake and blowing it, they end up sinning. God made it with Noah, and then Noah got drunk. God made it with Abraham. Abraham goes down into Egypt and threatens the covenant seed by leaving the land of promise and lying to Pharaoh. Yet God preserves and blesses him in spite of all this. Same with Isaac. And what about the other saints that come after this? Oh, we see the same thing. Look at the New Testament. No sooner after Jesus Christ confirmed the covenant with the 12 disciples in the upper room, giving them the signs of his body and his blood through the supper, through the bread and the wine, and telling them, illustrating to them how this was a picture of how he was going to die for them. What do we read? Peter denying Jesus and the disciples abandoning him. That the Lord was faithful and merciful to his covenant, and he took these men back into fellowship with him and to make them his own apostles to build his church in all parts of the world. We're in his presence. God sees us. And we can often be like Isaac. You know, we might choose to protect ourselves for the sake of our own comfort or to protect our own reputation or our own pleasures instead of following the Lord. Forgetting the love that God demonstrated to us by sending his own son. We're so weak. Congregation. But God knows everything about us. And that is the point of His grace, you see. He had kept His covenant with us because we can't. We can't keep it. He has to be merciful to us. And He's blessed us more than we deserve. That's how rich His mercy is. So let us learn, therefore, from this scripture passage that there is nothing different for us. How much we need that transforming grace of God. For it is the same Spirit who wished to dwell in Isaac, who wishes to dwell in us, and the same Father who revealed Himself to Isaac, who is revealed to us. So that's the first thing that we see within this passage. It leads us to what we see here secondly, the conflict in God's presence. God had blessed Isaac, and the Philistines saw this, so much so that it became a problem to them. You notice that there's quite a dispute here between them. They stopped the wells that Abraham had dug. Furthermore, we see Abimelech telling him to leave his country because he had become more powerful than the Philistines. There was a direct violation of the covenant that was made between Abimelech and Abraham, which is back in chapter 21. You can understand the importance of wells in a land such as this with the limited water supply and then the need for livestock to be cared for, which was the point we made when we looked at that covenant with Abimelech back in chapter 21. Jealousy raged for these precious wells, especially when a man was already so wealthy. Now it's figured by some that this Abimelech was not the same Abimelech that Abraham dealt with, but his successor, because the treaty would have been made about 100 years before this. Thus they claimed that this king had not seen the same kind of dealings with God's covenant people. Regardless of how we understand that, the point is the stopping of the wells and the kicking him out of the land was a violation of a treaty. In the covenant, it had been clearly agreed that the wells Abraham dug belonged to him. And so, though very greatly blessed, Isaac remained a pilgrim in the land. He left to the valley of Gerar, some distance from the city of Gerar. We're given some examples of the opposition he faced. In the valley, they dug up the wells of Abraham that had been filled in and called them the names Isaac's father gave them. They also dug up a new one, but Abimelech's herdsmen who were pasturing there didn't like this and said that it belonged to them. And for that reason, he gave it a Hebrew name, which means contention. This happened again when they dug another well, which was why he called it in Hebrew hatred. And he moved on far enough away and dug another one and called it Rehoboth, which means broad places or spaciousness. For the Lord had made room for him to be fruitful in the land. But all this opposition that he went through was meant to teach him to stand firm in the faith. In this very troublesome situation, the Lord led Isaac to faith in Him. Once he moved to Beersheba, the very same place that Abraham built a well, the Lord appeared to him again with that assurance. After a period of enmity and oppression, Isaac was given an encouraging word from the Lord. Unless we miss the point, the promise itself is repeated twice in this chapter. It's basically the same as verses 3 and 4, found again in verse 24. Isaac would be blessed, he and his descendants, because of Abraham. Isaac accepted that promise for what it was, and he worshiped the Lord from an altar. And therefore, congregation, we not only see God being merciful despite Isaac's sin, we also see Isaac being faithful. We see it in how he obeyed God by staying in this land and not going down to Egypt. It took faith to stay in the promised land. You might wonder how that can be. How is it that God rewards a man who is who has such a weak and intermittent faith? Isaac did some things right, but all around we see his failures. He sinned much better than he believed. Our faith also is at times intermittent. Our failures and our sins stand against us. But you see, that's the wonder of the gospel. And it's why it's so wonderful, because Christ is our righteousness. As he made up for that lack, even when we do what is right in our relationship with the Father. Faith is necessary as the means that God has appointed by which to place his blessing on our hand. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. But here we see Isaac being blessed with the blessing of God. And the reason for that in verse 24 is, for my servant Abraham's sake. Abraham was blessed because he obeyed the voice of the Lord and kept his commands and his statutes. To be sure, he didn't do that always well, but he genuinely kept them as God measured the faithfulness of Abraham, and as he does the same with us, as he measures our faithfulness. It's all that way. It's found that way all the way through the Bible. Psalm 103. Verses 17 and 18 say, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Now, each one of us is tested in some way. We may even be opposed, like Isaac. Maybe it's because we bear the name of Christ. Certainly that is true in our day, because we're called Christians. And yet God is faithful to each of us. His promises are given to each one of us. But he calls us to believe in those promises and to walk in thankful obedience. And God says to us, as he said to Isaac, don't fear. For I am with you. It's like the story of a young Chinese man by the name of Lo, who became a Christian. And he's excited about that, started to read the Bible. And he came across Matthew 28 in a 1611 King James Bible, where it says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And he was so excited about that. Though he may have misunderstood the coincidence between the English and his own Chinese name, it nevertheless was a truth that he understood clearly. Lo, I am with you. And that's an absolute certainty for all believers. No matter how difficult life can be for us, Jesus has said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Thank God for that. But it brings us to what we see here lastly, and that is the peace in God's presence. Now, to our and Isaac's surprise, Abimelech came along with his fellow commanders, and they came to Isaac. Isaac was suspicious at first and spoke reproachfully to the king. Yet you notice again that even the people around Isaac could see that he was blessed by God. They would sooner have a covenant with Isaac than be his enemy. And they took the risk of being destroyed. That means that Isaac had reached the same position as his father. Even a king wanted to enter into a covenant with him. And yet in verses 29 and following, we see that Abimelech made light of the way that Isaac was treated. They did not exactly send him away. Even though they didn't do harm to him or his servants, it was more like they drove him out and took wells that belonged to him. Abimelech was trying to put on his best face here. After all, he was making a covenant with him, and he had to admit, you're now blessed by the Lord. And Isaac agreed to this covenant, therefore, and they had a feast that evening. And the next day, they sealed the covenant with an oath, which they were bound to keep. As chapter 21 points out, vows and oaths, they have a place and they need to be kept. They need to be something that we remain faithful in. We require making them to keep our integrity. Oaths and vows are made to establish security and safety in a relationship, whether it be a marriage relationship or an agreement with a landlord to pay the rent, because we all are bent on breaking promises. This is why vows are necessary. However, notice that all this took place according to God's blessings. Proverbs 16 verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. God was proving to his servant how true he was to his word. Verses 32 and 33 are special because they reveal that the Lord blessed this treaty. Beersheba literally means well of the oath or well of the seven. It was named that because of the covenant made with the seven ewe lambs, which is spoken of back in chapter 21. The symbolism of all that. This was the same place that a treaty was made between Abimelech and Abraham. As Isaac had done with all the other wells, he named the same name as his father had. He could boast that the Lord had made room for them, and because the water secured his place in the land. And so we have Isaac's personal history as it is open before us. We have the parallels to Abraham's life. We have the pitfalls and the sins of the father repeated. But we have the promises reiterated. And the calling for Isaac to embrace those promises in faith. And is this not a picture of all of God's children? As taught everywhere else in the Bible, the lives of the saints began and ended in the grace of God. Salvation was a free gift. It was in no way earned. At the same time, the lives of the saints were ones of faith in God and faithfulness to Him. Or else they could not have been redeemed. And as we compare our lives here with the lives of the patriarchs, we have to confess that we have sinned against God. How rich we have been blessed by Him, though. Our faith is so weak and intermittent. You know, we don't speak enough in prayer. We don't keep His word. We have to confess our unworthiness that we have of being His children. Yet how richly He has blessed us anyway. And He says to us, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, I am with you. It's not faith itself that saves us, but a merciful Father and a dying Savior, as well as a powerful Spirit, the triune God. Everything that God promised to Abraham and fulfilled to Isaac is proof that everything that He has promised to us will finally come to those who are His. And Jesus predicted that. Remember the words of Matthew chapter 8. He said, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So let us therefore wait and be patient. Let us persevere in our faith, for the promises are yet to be fulfilled. Let us be faithful to Christ, for He has promised that we will come into His kingdom when He comes again. And He will do it, for He has promised Himself, because He's said it. Amen. Let's come to our God now in prayer. Oh Lord, our God, how thankful we are again for Your word of truth and for the blessings that we have received from Your hand again. Thank You for leading and guiding us, for granting to us the strength that we've needed, Lord, to serve You. We realize again how everything that we have is from Your hand, and we know that we don't deserve any of it. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Help us to embrace all Your promises to us with a believing heart and walk faithfully before You. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.